This is my commentary for Roth, the Ghostwriter, pages 44 to 47. I chose this passage for several reasons. First of all, I was amused by the sudden transition from what are the very heightened emotions of the dinner table scene and the following calm of this passage. It's a transition that I think is meant to alienate the reader somewhat in an attempt to mimic the strangeness of the household in which the scene takes place. Roth sort of refuses to address the anxiety he's built up in his readers in the previous scene and moves fluidly in this scene back into the placidity that sort of characterizes Lonoff's character. More importantly, though, I think that this passage in particular showcases how really intricately insecure Nathan is. He's paralyzed by uncertainty about how to react to the aggressive marital struggles of Lonoff, and while, I mean, obviously any extra relationship witness to the dinner scene of the preceding pages would have been acutely embarrassed also, Nathan's discomfort seems particularly multi-layered. His mortification seems to stem not only from having been witness to this very personal and embarrassing discussion, but also from having accessed this imperfection in his hero. I think most interestingly, the marital dispute between Lonoff and his wife centers entirely around how much Lonoff himself is perfect, and I find the scene striking in part because any marriage that harbors so much resentment and loneliness as Hope Lonoff seems to have isn't a marriage between well-suited or ideal partners. More bluntly, Lonoff sort of paradoxically cannot be as perfect as his wife claims he is if his wife is so unhappy in their marriage that she is able to act the way that she did. Nathan, though, doesn't seem to register this fact consciously and buries his own embarrassment so as to act more the way Lonoff does. He likewise pretends that there is no problem. And it's obvious to the reader, if not Nathan, that this coldness on Lonoff's part is a huge portion of the problem in his marriage. And Nathan is so desperate to appear like Lonoff, of Lonoff's type, that he emulates even the faults that Lonoff has, even the things that are lacking in Lonoff, this coldness, this inability to recognize sadness and desperation and to register it on a human level. He tries to adopt the impersonality that Lonoff shows towards his wife, even though the reader knows that that is not a good character trait. This sort of aspiration towards totality is a theme in The Ghostwriter, well beyond this scene. You know, Nathan's willingness to follow so identically in Lonoff's footsteps that he yearns for the things that even Lonoff himself has told him are the makings of an unhappy life. You know, Nathan's desire to live alone in the woods and to eschew human company and to spend all day writing really springs to mind as the readiest example of this. Lonoff was very clear, you know, I have done nothing but fantasize and it has made me unhappy. And Nathan is there saying, boy, I wish I could do nothing but fantasize. He does not receive the lessons that Lonoff gives him. You know, another reason that this passage that I read is so captivating to me is that it culminates in Nathan admitting to an extent, or the extent to which his subjugation of himself to the idealization of Lonoff is really, really extreme, notably in the use of the word, you know, master to describe Lonoff, and through the way that this passage shows Nathan's belief that Lonoff, in his dinner table toast, desired to shape Nathan's whole life the way that Nathan himself shapes his life after Lonoff. In conclusion, I found the scene to really nicely illustrate the absurdity of Nathan's feelings towards Lonoff and to be a really nice short vignette of how Nathan's inner narrative works.